All right, I'm gonna call us back into order. We are waiting on one, two people. Someone wanna go get Congresswoman Rivard and tell her her bill's up?
Alexis is rounding her up.
Okay, we are on ONCA 2596. We're going to start with where we left off, which is section 22. And Alexis, you have the floor.
Thank you for allowing me to come back. So I wanted to start today by discussing our promise, the promise I made to mail information to voters that ended up extremely delayed. Some internal processes took longer than I initially expected, which led us to end up in a state of limbo. I will own that failure to deliver on that one. I promise you that. I know what it's like to fail, and that'd be one of them for dang sure. But I also know that an informed nation is a strong nation, and delivering good information is what's more important than the speed of the delivery. So since then, we have contracted with a full-service marketing agency to update and improve our branding, build a new website using the domain osagevote.com, which is a lot easier to say than osagenation-nsn.gov/services/elections. Just saying. We're buried down in there. They will manage and grow our social media presence, beginning with a Heritage and Voting series to educate and build awareness with consistent posting that will be a combination of evergreen content, which is consists of our heritage and history, information and deadlines, and engagement-focused spotlights using our elder voices. They are going to establish email marketing campaigns to targeted voter populations that include monthly updates, deadlines, candidate filing information, reminders, et cetera, things like that. And they are also, they have been hired to capture photo and video throughout this anniversary year with elder interviews from all three districts, community voices on the tradition of voting, the gatherings that we will have, and deliver the message from our office that our elections team is here to serve the people. The only other part in professional fees is some funds for managed network services. I'm done going down. We cannot conduct an election or miss emails from voters requesting ballots if our IT services continue to go down repeatedly. I have to comply with law and get these people their ballots, but I don't even know if they're sending in their requests because our IT services are going down. And I know they're fixing it. I get it. But I can't take the risk this year. I just can't. Not with this big election year. I would not be standing here next year if that happens to this department. I promise you that. So that's the other portion of our professional services outside of the marketing. Good news. We have requested to move from our current location on Kahika to a place on campus so we can move voting back up on the hill where it belongs. Where we are located now does not provide a space for us to conduct elections. We are seeking a space where parking, ADA accessibility, and walking distance for voters are more ideal, along with the ability to provide drive-through voting for our elders. A move like this would expedite the announcement of results. Currently, we have to fully close down the polling site and transport ballots to the office to secure them in the vault before we can travel to the Hill for announcements. This move would allow for the majority of our closing duties to be safe for after ballots are secured and results are announced, which would also relieve ONPD from their duties of transporting and securing ballots with us sooner. And they can continue their jobs outside of just elections. Our current building is nation-owned And the roof was replaced at the end of 2018, beginning of 2019. I'm not 100% sure on the date, but I do know it does have a new roof. It actually is a joined roof with the building next to us that the nation does not own. So that had to be a combined effort between the two building owners in order to get that roof replaced. In the preamble of our Constitution, it states, "The Constitution created by Osage people hereby grants to every Osage citizen a vote that is equal to all others and forms a government that is accountable to the citizens of the Osage Nation." In Article 4, Declaration of Rights, Section 1, Popular Sovereignty, it states, "All political power is vested in and derived from the Osage people. All government of right or rights originates with the Osage people, is founded upon their will only, and is instituted solely for the good of the whole. Voters are those who grant elected officials this power through elections. Tribal Enterprise Boards, plural, is found in our Constitution in Executive Article 7, Section 14. The Election Board is found separately in Article 13, Suffrage and Elections, Section 3. The only board I can find specified by name in the Constitution is the Election Board. That statement alone says a lot about the importance of the Election Board and the role they play in this government. If you go back to Article 10, Code of Ethics, Section 8, independence of boards and commissions, the Constitution states, "Tribal officials and employees shall refrain from using tribal positions to improperly influence the deliberations, administrations, or decisions of established board or commission proceedings." In the Election Code, Section 2-101, Osage Nation Election Board, G, Authority and Responsibility, it states that the board shall be responsible for administering all elections of the Osage Nation unless otherwise provided by law. And then goes on to list their authority and responsibilities, in which you will find number 8, which actually is interesting based on yesterday's conversation, which requires them to establish the election office as an entity of the Osage Nation within the executive branch of government, but it then also states that the office reports directly to the board. I say all of this because in yesterday's discussion regarding the news budget, statements were being made, which I'm not trying to quote here today, but just generalize, about how the decision of their board should be honored because they're specified in law as an independent agency. Then when my budget was discussed, I felt that because we don't have the independent agency designation in law, it meant that my budget was going to be cut without allowing the board to amend our budget. Even though I understand why and don't necessarily disagree with the cut, I promise. But with that being said, the boards are in charge of the administration of their supporting offices, yet the budget process for each of them isn't uniform and seems to have something to do with the word independent, existing in their foundational law. From the sections of the Constitution I read, and in my own opinion, the Election Board shouldn't even need to be designated in law as an independent agency because it already is. Regarding travel, I do not know if other boards need to travel to other states to interact with the people they serve, but elections should be able to host its own set of town hall meetings similar to what we did during the government reform process, which requires a lot of travel by the board members that is currently limited. Only office staff traveling to the organization meetings to educate voters does not serve the voters in a way that is fair and equal. Not to mention, I really do not want to travel with candidates to those organization meetings and create perceptions that can arise from those situations. If this committee would like, I can ask the Election Board to have a meeting to discuss the issues found within our budget and amend the office budget as the board sees fit. During that same meeting, they could place the candidate campsite issue on the agenda to allow for elected officials, former candidates, and voters to voice their opinions directly to the board, which will also enable the board to express their ideas and concerns to those wishing to see something different.
Okay, committee, any questions? if there's no other questions, no other comments, Lexis?
Go Bucks. Yes, we got an election baby that's a senior at Hominy High School, so I have to say it.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So, let me see here.
I know.
We are being requested to appropriate $792,557, correct?
Technically, no, ma'am. Because that is not the budget the board approved.
Okay, so what are we going to do about that in this committee? Are we going to make a note that we're going to look at the board approved budget in appropriations? That's my question. Do we have a copy of the board approved budget yet? Have you supplied the clerk with the board approved budget?
Well, of course, I thought that was the budget that came down. I'm not going to lie. I'm shocked by that. I'm not going to lie. But I can email it over as soon as I get back to the office.
Okay. So what? I believe that we ought to look at the board approved budget.
There aren't major changes, I'll be honest. It's just the comparison in the budget before me and then me, and just it just seemed the difference in the independent part. And so now I wanted to come back and publicly state what I did, but the cuts were in salaries and wages, which then affects employee benefits, payroll taxes, the operations expense, and the election expense. Yes, they cut the election expense.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
Yeah, so part of all of us coming back to me now from our conversation yesterday and our notes, the salaries and wages cuts may have been merit.
The M word, yes.
We've been here before on every other budget, but the notes that I have are that your the conference meetings and special events line could have a change of $100,000. Your other section, mm-hmm. I'm not like naming some random section, I'm saying the section that says other, would have a change of $15,000, and your operations expense has a change of $13,000.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
But if the operations expense, not the operations expense, the conferences, special events, meetings line is going to change, I would prefer the board to do that, not me standing here in front of you today.
Okay. Yeah, that was, yeah.
Because you mentioned that the amount that was put in
was for
prior to a discussion with the board regarding campsites and the possible axing of them, but they didn't want to go that route. And so I guess the real question is that does the committee want to leave this here, or do you want to say it's reviewed and make any necessary adjustments and have more discussion? The adjustments, I think that we're doing those in appropriations, but we haven't seen what the board actually approved. So that's up to this committee. If we want to leave this here, we'll revisit it. If you are comfortable attending the appropriations meeting, because while each representative comes from each committee of jurisdiction, even though I'm not on appropriations, I can certainly attend the meeting just like everyone else. So it's up to y'all. Congresswoman Redcorn.
I'm just one vote, but I think my vote would be to get some supporting documentation from Alexis and hopefully also Treasury, because that has happened today based on conversations yesterday and some budgets that we discussed yesterday. We've received some additional documentation today regarding those. So my thought would be to send this out of this committee and go to appropriations and have her weigh in and also Treasury weigh in when we get to appropriations, and we've got our list of things that need to be addressed. feel like we could take care of them then. And in the meantime, the board comes out with a resolution talking about one component of their budget, then I would like to look at that too.
Okay.
My two cents, but I'm one person.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, moving on, we are at section 23, employee recognition. Who is on the call? Julio, are you speaking to that?
Yes, Madam Chair.
All right, go ahead. You have the floor.
Hey, good afternoon, Congress. Thank you so much. Employee recognition budget this year, there is no request for a change. We did some great things over the past year. We've launched some very variety of employee engagement initiatives designed to strengthen the workplace, the culture, the spirit and recognition of our employees. Everything from passing out personalized cakes to putting together a committed excellence board that will permanently display for employees, to doing professional headshots, to sending out employees' pictures in all sorts of emails, baby gift baskets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we've had a fantastic year. I think our employees are seeing the recognition that they deserve, and we want to continue that. However, there is no request for any additional funds at this time.
Thank you, committee. Congresswoman Rivard.
Good afternoon, Julio.
Good afternoon, Congresswoman Rivard.
On your request that you had last year, did you have any unspent funds from that
appropriation? No, ma'am. No unspent funds. And truly, to come clean, we actually had a little bit of a hiccup and boo-boo. We actually went over by $3,100 due to an inappropriate accounting error on my part. So I'll take accountability on that.
Okay. So how did you take care of that then?
Well, we were actually requested from Treasury to see if we can reclassify due to the fact that those expenses were equipment-based, where we assisted the fantastic Osage Nation Museum and their Christmas tree decorating, and that just wasn't processed quick enough, so we asked for that reclassification, and we're still waiting on a decision on that.
Okay, so is the then are you looking then, I guess, for an increase? Looks like it. Of about 32,000?
Yes, or 3,200, ma'am.
Okay, so what I'm seeing in the support docs is that you were appropriated 120,000, but you're requesting 152?
There's 32,000 of IDC funds, and that was placed in by Treasury. I do not know where that portion of the request came, but that may be an error. My original budget request is only for the same 120,000 that you guys appropriated last year.
Indirect costs for employee recognition?
Well, if I may.
Go ahead.
So it depends on, you know, what they're doing. So, and if you're doing an employee recognition, where it's coming out of depends on whether you charge IDC to it. I think we learned that in the last couple of days. It depends on what the expense is. And so I don't know, in hearing from what Julio's doing with the employees, I mean, it's listed under supplies. Is that how you submitted it to Treasury?
Yes, ma'am. That's the, or yes, Congresswoman, that's the direction I was given to put in that GL, in that line.
Okay. So then somebody's reviewed your expenses and said, you know, you need to put them in this line item. They're more of a supply than they are, I guess, where they were previous.
Yes, Congresswoman, that's how I see it as well.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thank you, Chair. I have a couple of questions. First, I'm noticing that last year, their whole budget, the reason they didn't have any IDC last year was because it was down in other. I actually see it as a direct assistance. But that's my, I think it's because it directly goes to a person. So it's one of those conversations that we could be having about how it could go down below the line and not have to be charged IDC. I think it says something when you categorize it as an expense. Employee recognition is an expense, and it's a, you need, I don't know. Anyway, it's rubbing me the wrong way being classified the way it is, if I'm just going to be really honest. I think my other question is, How many employees does this budget consider? Mr. Nunez.
Congresswoman, that would be all of them, 499 currently.
Okay, thank you. I may have another question in a minute.
Okay. Anyone else? Speaker Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. So I don't necessarily have a problem with it being considered an expense that's familiar to me. So I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but I'm just curious how, because I do know, unfortunately, we, you know, don't get to participate in the fun and the gifts, but I think it's wonderful that we're doing things for our employees. But I'm curious how, if we've asked our employees how they like them, is there, do you have plans on a survey? Do you currently survey the employees? Do you think it's effective? I'm all for employee recognition. In fact, it, you know, that's about $250 per employee. We could probably even spend more easily. So I'm just curious how our employees like the appreciation and if they feel appreciated by what we're currently doing. And I know it's tricky, but I would like you to answer that.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Absolutely. I receive not only quite a bit of verbal support and recognition that they're enjoying it, but we have tons of emails that individuals reach out to us and thank us for what we're doing. We actually have surveyed the individuals, and this is our second year surveying. So we have those results, and I'll be glad to share. And those results have been highly positive. There is one feedback that we're continuously receiving, and that's that they would love more of a monetary gift. You know, that they love the prizes, they love the fun, but man, where's that check? Can I get a little bit of money? And we're holding off on that portion. We're taking a look at all options, and monetary may be a great opportunity for them, but I think we're having major success with this when it comes to the team members feeling recognized. And we do a lot of personal items. We took some of the recommendations the board or the Congress gave us last year, and we go and speak to them. We identify them in front of their team. We give them a cake. We have a permanent board that I'd love for you guys to come by and visit on the second floor of the Welcome Center that has 10 plus year employees all the way up to 30 plus years employees that just recently was dedicated to Phi Davis and his great work for the organization. So yeah, I would see it as a success, but with everything as we know here, we want to continue to make it better, and we could spend a lot more. Since we made some big purchases this year, we're going to hold off from requesting since we don't have to make those foundational purchases like supplies or the board or tables and chairs and things like that.
You'll follow up?
Yes, thank you. So, in my experience over the years, employees absolutely prefer cash over anything else. Certain, you know, a cake is great, but employees really, really enjoy cash, especially, for example, at Christmas time or birthday or whatever. But that's just my opinion, but good job. And I'm glad that, that we do have an employee recognition program.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thank you, Chair. So so last year, I'm guessing we had about the same amount of employees. So this, what I'm understanding is that maybe each year this doesn't necessarily touch every employee, that it's sort of a little, how does that work? Do you work to recognize every employee in this, or is it different every year? And how is the level of recognition determined, I think, is kind of where I'm headed with that. And I think also my other question for that would be, and really this is probably just an explanation of your program, is are people, because we know, we've just heard the statements, yeah, people do prefer cash. And I would go one step further and to say people appreciate consumables. Whatever that may be, whether it's meat boxes or it's gift cards or it's cash or it's something that they can take with them that's theirs, right? They feel seen, they feel recognized, it's theirs to take home with them. So is that what this is? And how does that work as far as every employee every year or a random batch of employees every year? just kind of what does that process look like?
Well, Congressman Rick, we recognize everyone every year. That's the goal. That's why we have multiple large events where we invite everyone from the nation to attend. And we even expand our services out to those that can't be with us. So we also take out recognition to the folks out in Fairfax, out in Hominy, and other places as well. Everything from the cookouts, we provide them food to take, to cakes, to even gift certificates and meat boxes. Matter of fact, yesterday we gave away 13 meat boxes to team members of 25 plus years, because they're just a way of saying, once again, thank you. So we try to shoot for absolutely everyone to be involved. Everyone from 1 year, they receive a cookie. I know a cookie's not a huge deal, but we're going to build that up. They'll get a cookie and a hat and this and that. They also receive a little notification from us, all the way up to employees of 30 plus years where they're receiving larger items like bonus PTO and et cetera. So it really touches every employee. We make sure that we shout out every employee that's been here a year or, like Miss Denise King, 44 years. And, you know, we're thankful for each and every one of them. So it's our goal to touch everyone, you know, with our recognition, how we're doing that. Some are at a larger scale, some are at a smaller scale, but we are on the right path for that.
I got a text from an employee that said that they got Thunder tickets.
Yeah.
And they would prefer football tickets. That was the text I got. So, I mean, listen, the idea of tickets are, you know, probably a popular gift that people probably like. So, good. I mean, that's good. All right. Who else? Congresswoman Rivard.
So, in we had some discussion yesterday, Mr. Nunez, about office space. So, are you? I've asked you this before. Are you here every day working, like on site?
90% of the time, ma'am. Usually, if I have something personal to do, I am back in Lawton.
Okay, so you're here every day then.
Yes, ma'am. I'll be there next week every day. So, if you'd love to come visit me, I'd love to have you.
Well, I've been by, but you hadn't been there, so I was wondering. And secondly, is the office space. The reason I'm asking you, where are you going to go when child support moves to financial assistance and then they move up? Where are you going to be located?
I believe we're heading to the old health building, the clinic building. That's where we're headed, or that's what we've been told.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Nunez. I was just wondering where you guys play into the movement that they were discussing the other day. I think it was yesterday or day before. And I was just curious where HR was going to go at that point. How many, so on the employee recognition then, I was just wondering, you said that you give bonus PTO. And talk about that a little bit. Bonus PTO. So is that what, yeah, talk a little bit about that. I know what PTO is, but what's bonus PTO?
Well, regular PTO is accrued. Bonus PTO is a gift of recognition that we give, and you can find also the definition in the handbook. It's going above and beyond. It's a separate portion that doesn't accrue. So every team member accrues X amount of hours of PTO based on their time here. Let's say Congresswoman Rivard goes above and beyond, and we want to give her some kind of recognition. One of the great ways that we can do it is bonus PTO or extra PTO. That's kept separately in a completely different bank, and you can use it as regular and standard PTO as you go. The benefits of it are as you get additional PTO if something were to happen or if you want to take some extra time, and you don't lose it. So once it comes your time to leave the organization, retire, whatever it may be, it's paid out to you as well in a monetary amount. So it's one way that we've kind of solved the issue of cash. Yes, we'd love to cut you a check to everyone we can, but at this moment, we're not at that phase. So we provide them bonus PTO.
Follow up.
So when you do that and you say there's a bank, where I'm at is like as a director and you're budgeting and things like that, you know, you PTO, of course, is a liability. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, where are you paying the PTO from? Is it coming out of that person's budget, their direct budget?
Yes, and bonus PTO is just a different coding of the hours that we've already budgeted for the 2080. The only time that it becomes the major liability is when the team member leaves. So even at the calculation of a high salary, the budget is not receiving a big hit. Many of the secretaries, matter of fact, all of them are in support of it, and they request bonus PTO to be given to their team members constantly. So it's a good part, and that's the only downside of it. If you leave here, and most bonus PTO banks aren't very high, we'd have to cash it out to you. The amounts that we're really normally giving out is 1 hour, 2 hours, up to 5 hours of bonus PTO.
That was my question, Chair, was so if somebody leaves the organization and you have set aside bonus PTO for them, do you pay that out to them? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, ma'am.
So can you, well,
but they have to leave. They can't cash PTO out just to cash it out because they're, I don't know, about to hit the ceiling with where we allow. They're, yeah, because they're maxed out. Yeah. Yeah. How many people do you have maxed out on PTO, sir? Just a good ballpark, because I realize that's a question that's number one, probably a moving target. But on average, how many employees out of the 400 and something that you mentioned earlier max out on their PTO?
At the moment, I couldn't tell you that number, but it's no more than 5, if that. And many of our team members, they're notified that they're getting close, and they use their PTO, take a day off or two.
Okay. Thank you. Committee, anything else? I think I've heard from at least 5 employees that say that they're pretty close to maxing out, but I don't know. I would like that number, and I'm not asking for you to give it to me right now, but I would like to know what that number is, a more solid number. If you could email that to the clerks, I'm curious about it. I hear it's a lot, but maybe that's not accurate.
Maxed out in chair. Okay, maxed out in PTO, which is, I think, at 260, and they get maxed out, and then
after that, they lose.
They start losing, and so then they call and say, hey, you need to take off, or things of that nature.
Depending on which the program or service is and how many people they have and who else is taking off and what's going on, I mean, getting coverage for when you're talking about, it's the same thing with casinos. And Speaker Shaw can attest to that. It's a moving target to get people to be able to cover, you know, to cover what needs to be covered when you have a small, number one, when you have a small program or service, but number two, also when you have in the casino world of 3 shifts, 7 days a week, they don't get holidays off. If you work in the casino, you're expected to work Christmas Day. You're expected to work New Year's Eve. You're expected to work Thanksgiving. That just goes along with it. All right, committee, any other questions? Congresswoman Redcorn.
Mostly just a statement, and I really appreciate where Congresswoman Goodfox went on that commentary, because when you have a lot of people maxed out on PTO, that means they're not taking it. And you're talking about the work culture. You're talking about caring for the whole person at that point. You're talking about workplace happiness. You're talking about them taking work home. You're talking about just a lot of stress and a weight on a person. And so I think when we're talking about employee recognition, I know that that's not a monetary concern for this actual budget, but I think an overall concern and an overall way to look at employee recognition is to look at that. If you got a lot of people who are maxed out on PTO, that means they're never not working. You really got to consider your people. If they're not taking that time or they don't feel like they can take that time, you got to, that's a culture conversation, and I feel like when that's paid attention to in organizations and people feel like they can take time off and they can get some rest and take care of themselves and take care of their families well, and it not not that somebody would get on to him for it, but that they would have this huge workload. It's just not worth it when they can't think that it's worth to do it. Then that creates a whole, that's a whole thing. So when we want to talk about employee recognition, giving bonus PTO is great, but I just hope they take it and they actually rest. So there's, that's where I'm at. I just think that we could, this sounds like a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. I love doing things for people. It sounds like a lot of fun, but I hope that in this, we're having real big conversations about how to care for our people well.
Congresswoman Rivard, then Congresswoman Whitehorn.
There's some discussion, Chair and Committee, that I'd like to have, but I don't know where to have it. Everybody's looking at, oh, good gosh, sorry. Well, I just want to start talking about the merit. And I don't know where to, I don't, when we get to the HR budget, that's our operational budget. Where is it? And I, please don't shut down that convo, ma'am. I really want to talk about the merit for our employees. Besides the shareholder employees. No, I'm just kidding. I would like to talk about, just kidding. I just want to talk about the merit overall, but I didn't know where that would be a good spot. And I know we're almost out of time, but would it be in this section or at the HR's budget? But I do want to have conversation about the merit because it's about money. And there's discussion that the merit was cut, and it may be in some folks' budgets, maybe without, and with that, not in some folks' budgets. And I want to have that combo with our HR director because he's the guy in charge of merit. And
well, that is what we've heard. We have heard. We've absolutely heard that some people have it and some people don't, and some people submitted it and didn't know that it wasn't in there. I mean, that's the reality. So I think that it needs to be in the HR section.
Okay. I just said not this section, ma'am. Not employee recognition.
I mean, the only thing that I think that if we were to look at this section is I think everyone supports this section. We were the ones that increased it last year. Everyone's getting a bunch of texts about what they like about it and what they don't. People like it. I agree that Congresswoman Redcorn made a good point that bonus PTO is great, but only if they're allowed to take it. I do believe I do believe that there are more than five people within the nation's employee system that are maxed out on their PTO. I would really like to know what that number is. And you know, part of recognition is if I don't know, maybe we increase it some more and allow for employees to get their PTO to cash it in. That's, they've earned it. And it shouldn't have to be just because they leave the nation that they get their PTO buyout. They work for that PTO. And it might come in handy when they have, you know, 40 hours and they need to, and I realize that would be a moving target financially, but it could be number one, we meet more than just spring and fall. We're in special session all the time. We could always put money into that line item as needed, but we should look at that. We should talk about that. Congresswoman.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Casey.
Casey, where did you come from?
Hey. Well, I was born in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Casey, I don't even...
I've been on here the whole time.
We don't see your name, so we want to know what your alias is. You're either Ross Walker, Julio, James, Bill, or Silas. I don't see you. Oh.
My cell phone's on her.
Okay, we see you now. All right, well, go ahead.
So, I have thought about, you know, what you're discussing right now as far as the nation buying back PTO. And the military did that. So if you had up to 90 days, you could sell, you know, I think 45, the max was 45 days. Because, you know, even though they have this giant $1 trillion budget, they put stipulations on things. So I think when you discuss this, if you put parameters on it, as an example, you were only allowed to sell your leave, your excess leave, twice in a career. So when you reenlisted at any point, and then when you were going to get out of the military. So, but you were allowed to sell it back and, instead of taking it. And because, and the reason they did that in that manner is, and you know, you guys have all been around, you know, a while like I have. You don't want people selling off PTO for the money and then something happening to them, you know, car accident, break a leg, you know, any number of things, and then don't have any PTO. All of a sudden you're not getting paid at all. So I think it's a good idea. It just has to come with some serious, thinking, you know, cause humans are humans. I mean, I like money too, but I like to have PTO saved in case something happens. So that's all I had to say.
All right. Thank you. Good points. Good points. All right, committee, we're out of time. You can ask one question.
So did we decide we were going to leave when we send this out and report it out to appropriations? Are we going to leave this above the line or are we going to move it below the line? That's my question. Let's talk about it in appropriation. Okay.
Are you making your notations, Whitney? Yep. Okay. Okay. Listen, we didn't get really far, and that's all right. Does anyone, before I make the next agenda, does anyone want to hear more about employee recognition, or are we going to move on down to housing? And thanks, Brandon, for being here, and I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but the plan is going to be, if this committee is okay with employee recognition in terms of discussion, then we will have the next meeting, which is scheduled for the 17th from 2:30 to 5. We will pick up with ONCA 2596 with section 39, which is housing. And then we'll move to law enforcement, Office of the Principal Chief, Osage Nation Foundation Board, Treasury, Tribal Development, and Utility Authority Board in that order. And then the rest of the agenda, which has the legislative branch, judicial branch, tribal works, etc. So are you guys all okay with that? All right. I'm sorry if you were here all day and we didn't get to your section, but you will be heard on the 17th. And actually, we will start with you all that have sections in ONCA 2596. On the 17th at 2:30, we will start with that and we will work through the rest of the sections and then move on to the legislative budget and the judicial budget and so on. All right, without objection, we're adjourned. Thank you.